Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, December the 18th, Pope Francis prays for the victims of a cyclone in the Indian Ocean, which is feared to have killed thousands of people. Israeli authorities deny three more UN-led aid missions access to the besieged areas in the north of the Gaza Strip. And we speak to the Bishop of the Diocese of Tallinn in Estonia about the announcement of the beatification of a Jesuit in the country who was martyred by the Soviet Union in 1942. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Cholak. At today's general audience, Pope Francis prayed for the victims of Cyclone Chido, which is feared to have killed thousands of people in Mayotte, a French territory in the Indian Ocean. The Pope also asked Polish pilgrims to remember Ukrainian refugees this Christmas, as Christopher Wells reports.
During his greetings to French speakers at this week's general audience, Pope Francis said he was praying for the victims of the recent cyclone in the French Indian Ocean territory of Mayotte. Cyclone Chido hit Mayotte on Saturday, leaving widespread destruction in its wake, with thousands of people now feared dead. Speaking with Vatican News, Marc Boutot of Secours Catholique, the French branch of Caritas, described the situation on the archipelago as truly apocalyptic. At today's general audience, Pope Francis prayed that God might grant rest to those who have lost their lives, the necessary assistance to those in need, and comfort to those who have been affected. Meanwhile, in his greetings to Italian speakers, the Pope prayed for peace in war zones, as he does at almost every single general audience.
E poi, cari fratelli e sorelle, preghiamo per la pace.
Let us pray for peace, the Pope urged. Let us not forget the people who suffer from war, Palestine, Israel, and all those who are suffering in Ukraine, in Myanmar. And the Pope urged, let us ask the Prince of Peace, the Lord, to give us this grace. Peace, peace in the world. War, let us not forget, is always a defeat, always. And speaking with pilgrims from Poland, the Pope added an appeal to care for Ukrainian refugees in that country. On Christmas Eve, Pope Francis said, "You will break oplatek, Christmas bread. May this gesture of charity, peace, and forgiveness be an expression of an open heart to all those you meet on your path.
Per favore, continuate a ricordare soprattutto i poveri, le persone sole."
Please continue to remember above all the poor, the lonely, the victims of the floods, and our sisters and brothers from Ukraine. I'm Christopher Wells.
We heard there about the Pope's prayers for the people of Mayotte. The death toll from the cyclone there remains unclear, with shanty towns that were home to undocumented migrants being flattened and many areas still inaccessible. Linda Bordoni reports.
According to local officials and health workers, hundreds or even thousands of people could be dead in the worst storm to hit the Indian Ocean archipelago in 90 years. But only 22 fatalities recorded in hospital have been confirmed so far. Some victims were reportedly buried immediately in accordance with Muslim tradition before their deaths could be counted, and authorities are still unable to reach some areas. The situation is made more difficult by uncertainty around Mayotte's exact population. While official statistics put it at 321,000, many believe it's much higher due to undocumented immigration. The archipelago is France's poorest territory and a destination for migrants hoping to reach Europe. Meanwhile, the death toll on continental Africa, where the storm hit after passing through Mayotte, rose in Mozambique to 45 and in Malawi to 13. Authorities in Mayotte are now ramping up relief operations with 120 tons of food due to be distributed. Supplies have been arriving via an air bridge from Réunion Island, France's other Indian Ocean territory. And French President Emmanuel Macron is due to arrive in Mayotte on Thursday. Meanwhile, relatives of families affected by the cyclone have expressed helplessness, as it has been impossible to contact residents of the archipelago who are reportedly picking their way across the ravaged landscape in search of water and food. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And we also heard from Christopher a moment ago about the Pope's prayers for Gaza today. Nathan Morley has the latest on the situation on the ground there, where the Israeli authorities have denied three more UN-led aid missions access to the besieged areas in the north of the Gaza Strip.
According to UN humanitarians, this adds to the 38 missions that Israel blocked at the start of December. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or OCHA, said the Israelis hindered two additional missions which were planned to bring essential supplies to Gaza between the 1st and the 16th of this month. The office said that the civilians who remain during the siege must be protected, then their essential needs must be met. The authorities must facilitate the work of the UN and humanitarian partners who have been trying to deliver food, water, health and other critical assistance. The World Health Organization, the WHO, reported it managed to reach Kamal Adwan Hospital in North Gaza Governorate on Saturday, despite ongoing hostilities and explosions. In other developments, the Al-Qassam Brigades, Hamas's armed wing, said its operatives set off a house booby-trapped with explosives targeting 11 Israeli soldiers, causing deaths and injuries. Earlier, the Israeli Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, promised that he would not permit the establishment of a Palestinian state, discarding reports that Israel had agreed a path towards Palestinian statehood as part of efforts to normalize relations with Saudi Arabia. His office said the reports were completely false. Israel launched a large-scale offensive in Gaza after Hamas fighters stormed southern Israel in October last year, killing around 1,200 people and taking around 250 hostage. The health authorities in Gaza said on Tuesday that the death toll from Israeli strikes has now climbed to 45,059. For Vatican Radio, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Pope Francis today approved the beatification of Archbishop Edward Profitlich, a German-born Jesuit who served in Estonia and was then martyred in the Soviet Union in 1942. Bishop Philippe Jordan of the Diocese of Tallinn in Estonia spoke to Vatican Radio's Devin Watkins about the news, and he expressed his joy that Archbishop Profitlich, his predecessor, will now be raised to the honours of the altar.
My first reaction, of course, it's, well, a lot of joy and also a lot of emotion, not only for me, but for all Catholics here in Estonia, because we're waiting a long time, and for many non-Catholics also, because it is the first saint for Estonia. So Estonia will have his first Catholic saint. And so you can imagine what it is for us to have for the first time a saint who lived in Estonia, even if he died in jail, not in Estonia. And of course, I think it's very important for the church here, for our local church, because the goal of the church is to help the people to be saved and to be holy. As long as there is no saint in the local church, I would say that in a certain way, it seems that something very far away, perhaps in other time or in other country. But for that reason, to have a saint coming from our country, it makes like the work of the church much more realistic, and they give the message that holiness is also for us here in the periphery of the church, and also for our time, because Archbishop Profitlich, he died not so many years ago and in a historical period, which is very near still for all the people in Estonia. And I would say also that it's a wonderful news also for the Catholics in Russia, even if actual situation is complicated, but really they began the process of beatification of Archbishop Profitlich 21 years ago, and it just began by the initiative of the Archdiocese of Moscow. I think that for them also it's a great joy.
That was Bishop Philippe Jordan of Tallinn, Estonia, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Devin Watkins. As well as Archbishop Profitlich, Pope Francis also announced today the canonization of 20 other religious men and women. Among them, the Pope recognized the sanctity of the Martyrs of Compiègne, a group of Carmelite sisters who were executed during the Reign of Terror in the French Revolution. Their story is told in an opera by Francis Poulenc, called the Dialogue des Carmelites, as well as in a few other works. Pope Francis today published a reflection on the upcoming 2025 Jubilee in an Italian newspaper. In his reflection, the Pope highlighted that the Jubilee will be a time of spiritual renewal, of justice and of hope, inviting all to encounter God, to rediscover joy and to build a future rooted in fraternity and hospitality. As Francesca Merlo reports, the Pope also called on Rome as a city, saying that it is the heart of this celebration and that it should embody welcome and unity for pilgrims worldwide.
Pope Francis has shared his reflections on the Jubilee, describing it as a profound moment of spiritual renewal and encounter. Drawing on its biblical origins, the Pope explained that the term Jubilee is rooted in the sound of the ram's horn, or Yobel, which marked the start of a sacred year for the Israelites as prescribed in the Law of Moses. This period symbolizes redemption, renewal, and social justice through practices such as forgiving debts, freeing slaves, and allowing the land to rest, reminding humanity of its stewardship over creation. The Pope highlighted that Jesus redefined the Jubilee during his ministry. In the synagogue of Nazareth, Christ declared his mission to free captives, heal the blind, and liberate the oppressed. His message expanded the Jubilee's significance, offering not only physical freedom but also liberation from sin and despair. It became a call to heal inner blindness, encounter God, and rediscover the joy of faith. Since its formal institution in 1300 by Pope Boniface VIII, the Jubilee has drawn millions of pilgrims to Rome. This outward pilgrimage reflects an inner longing for renewal, hope, and an encounter with Christ. For the upcoming Jubilee, Pope Francis envisions Rome as a city of welcome and hospitality. He urges the Eternal City to embrace its Christian heritage, not just through art and monuments, but through fostering fraternity and dialogue. The opening of the Holy Door on Christmas Eve will symbolize a passage into new life, inviting pilgrims to embrace the grace of Christ's transformative presence. As the world gathers in Rome, the Pope dreams of a city where diversity and faith unite, embodying a future built on truth, love, and hope. I'm Francesca Merlo.
And with that upcoming Jubilee nearly upon us, Pope Francis has begun a new cycle of Wednesday catecheses, specifically dedicated to the Holy Year. At today's general audience, the Pope gave the first in this new series of catechesis, which will last throughout the entire Jubilee and have as its theme, Jesus Christ, our hope. Kelsey Gussie has more.
This new cycle of catechesis will be broken down into different parts, beginning with the childhood of Jesus, inspired by the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. Pope Francis explained that while both evangelists present the infancy and childhood of Jesus, there is one unique difference.
La differenza tra i due evangelisti è che mentre Luca racconta gli eventi con gli occhi di Maria, Matteo lo fa con quelli di Giuseppe, insistendo sulla paternità così inedita.
Luke tells the events from the perspective of Mary, Pope Francis explained. Matthew does so from the perspective of Joseph, emphasizing a fatherhood that is very unique. The Gospel of Matthew begins with the genealogy of Jesus, from Abraham to Joseph. Each name signifies a new chapter. Each encapsulates a unique identity and mission, membership in a family and a people, and finally, the faith adherence to the God of Israel.
Diversamente però dalle genealogie dell'Antico Testamento, dove appaiono solo nomi maschili,
the Pope stressed that the genealogy in the New Testament has a striking difference to those found in the Old Testament. Five women are listed in Jesus' family tree: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary of Nazareth. He explained the first four are united not by the fact that they are sinners, but by the fact that they are foreigners to the people of Israel. The final woman mentioned in the genealogy is Mary, Jesus' mother. Unlike the previous four, she is not listed with the men whom they give birth to, nor the ones who fathered them. The Pope clarified this shows that she marks a new beginning. The Pope ended his catechesis by calling everyone to awaken in ourselves a grateful memory towards our ancestors. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
If you want to listen to any of those catechesis that Kelsey was mentioning there, you can find them on our Vatican News website, www.vaticannews.va. They'll also be streamed live on our YouTube channel. Many thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to Gustavo Messina and Elena Battani in the studio in the Vatican. I'm Joseph Cholek. Goodbye.